And this is our third sharing on the book of Ruth, third Sunday in a row. And if you remember, the first two sharings concerned Naomi representing the soul and Ruth as the spirit. And we're going to... Now that was, there you go, that's the first chart that we had, and we dealt pretty much with this reality of spirit, soul, and body, but Christ inhabiting us, and we really got into those aspects. But in Ruth, let's just read chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 to begin with. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. So in this story, and I guess we can go ahead and put the next chart up. In this story, Elimelech is the husband of Naomi. So you can see it there. The title of the chart is Two Husbands, Christ and Adam. And Naomi is joined to Elimelech. He's the one there. And Ruth was married or joined to Boaz. And Elimelech represents the old nature, the old man. And also he represented, at his death, he represented Christ crucified, becoming one with him and taking him into death. In the case of Boaz there, he represents Jesus in his risen form. And in both of these, it has to do with union, and you have to understand union not as a doctrine, but as a reality. And in the first two sessions, I pretty much challenged you in relationship to conformity to Christ in your daily lives, and we dealt with the spirit and the soul, and we really looked at it in light of that, and that's a good thing. Good, practical, real life, where the rubber meets the road type teaching. But there's an aspect that we must not forget, and it relates to unchanging truth. And you can see this over in Ephesians. We're going to deal with that today. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Notice the words, in Christ. Because he doesn't just bless you with that in the earth or in you. It is something that is yours in union with Christ. And and what you have to remember is that even in the other two classes in Ruth, we really dealt with this practical dealing of God bringing your soul under the authority of Christ in your spirit. That's a day-to-day dealing. But this that we just read here is an eternal relationship that God set up by the death and resurrection of Christ that doesn't change based on you. Based on your moment by moment. The Holy Spirit is here to deal with you in your daily life and to conform you to the image of Christ. But the risen Christ is risen as a reality of an eternal relationship that God has with you. And if you don't know that eternal relationship, then it begins to cause problems. And that's exactly what we want to deal with this time around. Also in Ephesians 2 in verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All right, and you'll notice that that's all past tense. Hath raised us up. It's all past tense. Look at the wording. Look at the grammar. That you are raised up with Christ, and not only raised up, but you were raised up together. We all were raised up together because when Christ was raised, we were in union with Christ or in Christ. And so when that happened, when he was raised up, we also were placed in union with him. And that relationship is settled. It's not based on how good you're doing today or tomorrow or yesterday. It's based on eternal reality. It's based on when Jesus sat down, you, according to this, you were raised up and you sat down with him. You're in him. You're one with him. All right. So what we want to do is, having dealt with in this last couple of classes, this dealing of God by the Holy Spirit, of not going by our soul, not judging by our soul, but by Christ in us. Now we want to do that based on our situation and our relationship and our union with God in Christ. And if we don't do that, Colossians will address what I'm fixing to say. Over in Colossians chapter 3, just a few pages over, Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2 says this: if ye then be risen with Christ, seek. All right, so seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. All right, so now this is not dealing with you as the first two classes or sessions that we had, the first two sharings that we had on Ruth being your spirit and Naomi being your soul. This is not dealing with you in conformity, in you to change and to be formed into his image. This is dealing with you to come to a full recognition and acknowledgement that you are in Christ now, that you are you are already raised up and made to sit together in heavenly places in him. That, of course, has an effect in you personally, but the point of this is that in this scripture, it's saying, look, if you're risen with Christ, if you are risen with Christ, and you know that, then you need to begin to find your security in that and to find your relationship in that reality and not just say, okay, well, I got saved, I'm on this earth, and Jesus is up in heaven, and Lord, deal with me and help me and conform me and shape me up. We're looking for him to conform us and shape us up down here, but the first thing he's looking for is for us to see who he is and conform to the one that we're, as it were, married to, joined to, one with, Jesus. That's settled. That's already happened. That joining has already happened because we were raised up together in Christ. That's a joining, right? It didn't say we were raised together with him, but in him. And so that relationship will always be, okay? Your relationship with him on this earth may not be always at its best. Can I get an amen on that one? We have days. We sometimes have weeks. As I look upon the faces of those in this room, sometimes we go for years. Oh, well, I'm not going to point out who that is, but the point of the story in Ruth that we're going to see is that if we lose sight of our position in Christ, and when I say our position, our union with Christ, and more importantly, as we shall see, the Christ in whom we are, when we lose sight of that, then, man, we place ourselves in a bad situation and certain things start happening that, you know, just because we're not in. It's the example I always think of is if you had a little, let's say out in your backyard, you were doing something and you had this metal awning back there, but you were out in the yard and all of a sudden it started raining and then it started hailing and it's just bam, 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 and you run under that. Well, all of a sudden the hail is going all around you, but it's not hitting you. That's you being covered. That's you being in Christ. That's where these things don't hit you. But if you stood out in the yard while these hailstones are hitting you in the head and you're going, why? Why is this happening to me, Lord? Why? You know, and we're just going on and we're just carrying on and going, Lord, stop the rain. You know, we're using our power, you know, our authority. Lord, stop the hail, stop the rain. Well, every once in a while, God will work a miracle like that. Amen? He will. I mean, he's amazing. But guess what? He doesn't want you to live off of miracles. He wants you to live off of Christ. That's his goal. And that goal is to live off of Christ, both in him and him in you. And that's what Jesus said. I'm going away. This is Jesus walking the earth. Come on. Jesus walking the earth with us. And he says, I'm going away, but I'm going to come back in a different form. You're going to know me. At that day, you will know that I'm in the Father and you in me and I in you. Okay. So he's saying, look, I don't want to just be with you. That's good. You like it, but there's something greater. And that is this reality of being in him, where if you stay, you know, and here we go, if you stay under that awning, if you stay under that covering, then the hailstones and all those things that could normally reach you are not reaching you. But if you stand outside of that and you pray and you're crying out and you're asking God and you're saying, Lord, I've been giving more offerings, I've been doing this. Well, that's not based on anything that you do. That's based on his goodness, not yours. Can I say it again? Because you're worried about your goodness, right? Well, my goodness, well, that's based on his goodness. He supplied that in himself, not just by himself, but in himself. Yeah, because and you're in there too. And so, you know, the failures, many of the failures that Christians go through, they don't have to go through if they would just realize these things. And a lot of times when you're out there, let's just put it this way. If you're out there in that hailstorm, you can begin to feel as if you're separated from God. Why is this happening? Why isn't God taking care of me? Do you understand what that means? In other words, you're not separated from God. You have separated in your mind, and it's opened you up to a bunch of stuff that he never meant for you to go through. And you're looking for him to do a miracle to deliver you when what he wants is a greater thing than a miracle. He wants you functioning as one with him, joined like a bride, like a husband and a bride, and in that situation that we have in the picture there. So let's go to a couple more scriptures before we go back to Ruth. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15 and verse 22, and most of you are familiar with this verse, but it's certainly a good one to go with our picture up there in our chart. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. It just occurred to me, can the people on Skype even see that? Oh, they can. Wow, that's pretty good, isn't it? You wouldn't think so with it being light and that going into the thing there. All right. I think Jesus looks cool in that little picture personally, but I tell you, I'm a little scared of the old man there. I used to know people looked like that, but nevertheless. All right, so this scripture says, For as in Adam... Okay, so this is talking about union, this verse 22. For as in Adam, not with Adam or of Adam or born of Adam, but in Adam, in union with Adam, All die. How many?
All.
Okay. But in Christ, but so in Christ shall all be made alive. Okay. But it says in Christ, not by Christ. Isn't that interesting? Because there is in the mind of God this huge area that he wants us to comprehend and liberate us from a whole lot of the stuff that's fallen on our head. And if we're asking while being Christ in us, we're asking for covering. Covering over us is not supplied by Christ in us. It's supplied by us in Christ. Strength, power, fruit of the Spirit, all that kind of stuff, that comes by Christ in us. Amen? See the difference? There's a big difference there. All right. So I'm going to say it like this. At this stage, since this is our third class on this, I want you to forget everything that I taught in the first two. Okay, no. No, I don't. Well, if there was a test, I would know that you had already. All right. However, I don't really want you to forget it. I just don't want you to try to apply what we shared in that class to this one, okay? Please continue to remember it, applying it to Christ in you and not to this, because this is a completely different ball of wax. And some people can, you know, some people go, well, how can you get all that different stuff out of the same scriptures, man? I mean, you know, it either means this or it means that, but, you know. Well, that's not true. I mean, take an example of a seed. Let's say it's an apple tree seed, you know, apple seed. And in that seed, it's not just, you don't just see a red apple. I mean, in that seed is bark, and it's brown, and leaves, and they're green, and, you know, there's a, you know, a smell, and there's a feel, and a texture, and different textures, and all that, all in one seed. Well, the Word of God is just like that. It is seed. What is it? Matthew 13 describes it as such. And as such, you can see all these varieties of things, but you have to have, you know, you can't see something in a scripture and there go, there, I know that now. I know that scripture. I'm slowly but surely knowing all the scriptures because I know something in that scripture. Well, there's more. Amen. There's more. There's always more in Jesus because he's without beginning and without end. Yes. And I've often said, and you know, some might argue with this, but I've often said, if somebody stuck me in a prison and the only scripture I had was John 3:16, that I believe that I could continue to search that and the Holy Spirit would show me the full gospel, the full, you know, everything in one scripture. We go, could I have the whole Bible? No! You know, your prison keepers, you know, you go, I don't need it. I've got the seed of everything here, and God can open your eyes and open your heart to see that stuff. So in this last sharing, that's going to be our emphasis, settling into just view in the book of Ruth, the reality of being in Christ. Okay, before we go back to Ruth again, Romans 7, and Romans 7 does still apply because it's dealing with two husbands. So let's turn to Romans 7. And in Rome, in Ruth this time, we're going to change up the types a little bit. And we're going to look at both Naomi and Ruth as just believers. But they're joined in their mind to a different husband. Okay? That Ruth is joined to Boaz. Naomi is joined to that guy, Elimelech. Okay? And Romans 7 gives us precedence for being able to address this like this. Verse 1, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman who hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she's loose from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she is married to another man, she should be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another. Verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. All right. So the scriptures have told us over and over that the law or the old covenant scriptures were a shadow of Christ. Can I get amen? They were a shadow. Like the Passover lamb was not the real thing. It was a shadow of the real thing. These laws were not the real thing. The real thing is how we relate to Christ or not relate to Christ. That's what this is telling us. He says, I speak to them that know the law. This is the law. If you're married, da 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 da. And he says, however, this is New Testament truth that we're talking about in our union with Christ or our union with the former husband, the old man. This isn't about, you know, outward righteousnesses that you keep. It's about Christ. Now, see, we can embrace that with the lamb, can't we? We go, well, you know, that little lamb that died on the altar on the Passover day, you know, we go, well, that's not Jesus. But it gets hard for us to look at other scriptures that it's not Jesus either. It's us keeping something instead of Christ being the fulfillment of those things. All right, well, now that I've got everyone sufficiently riled, let's go to the, well, I'll tell you what, let's not go there yet. One of the things we're going to find in the book of Ruth is that these husbands, Elimelech and Boaz, they are particularly tied to the land where they end up. Okay. Boaz is tied to the promised land. Elimelech is tied to Moab. And we're going to examine that because you begin to see there's a whole picture of what God begins to do and the things that he begins to work in relationship both to the land and to the person. And we're not quite ready for our next chart, but the next chart's going to begin to spell that out. But you could say it like this, that union with Christ or union with Adam, when we become joined with him, we become joined with all that he has constituted, all that is of him, all that is his, all that is his land. That joining covers all the bases of who he is and what he is and what he represents. And the same is true for Brother Elimelech up there, Adam. I love watching your faces as you look up there and look at him. You kind of go, okay, I want Jesus. Okay, let's go to Romans 6. I want to just present a few scriptures here. Romans 6 and verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Okay, so now we did discuss that in the last two classes. The old man is crucified, but it's crucified with him. So that when Elimelech died in the other classes, that was Christ because he was joined to Christ and brought into that death, okay? crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now let's drop down to let me just say in advance in the book of Ruth that Naomi is a good demonstration of being ignorant of the union with Christ that she had. Now I'll spell that out a little more, but I want you to be thinking about that. Naomi really ends up being ignorant of the union that she has. And so this is saying, don't be ignorant, or what's the King James way of saying it? Know ye not. Know ye not. Right? Don't be ignorant, or know ye not. Don't be ignorant that the old man is dead and you've been joined to another. And then verse 16, know ye not. Well, I guess there's something God wants us not to be ignorant of. Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Okay, so sin unto death and all of that, that's a result of the union of who you yield yourself to. And if we're ignorant of that, if we know ye not in both of those situations, if we don't take those words as this is, I'll just word it like this, this is God's challenge to me to really know this area of union with Christ and not just Christ living in me, then if I don't know that, then it causes me to live as if Adam or the old nature is not crucified. You see what I mean? Even though it's true, and that's why over in Colossians, see, he said, if you're risen with Christ, seek the reality of what's true. Just because it's true doesn't automatically release it. What releases it is your acknowledgement of union with the Lord. You see? You see that? How that, the wording of that? All right. So in the case of both Boaz and Elimelech, the old man and Jesus, what is true of him becomes true of her that is joined with him. Or what is true of him is true of those of us who become joined, either to the old nature or to Jesus. And when I say becomes true of it, I don't mean it changes the eternal truth of being in Christ. I mean it changes how you react down here. Okay. And how you view things down here. You have to see that. All right. So, let's see. Shay, if you'll throw that next chart up there. That's all right. We've got a little bit of time here. All right. This chart is called The Journey from One Husband to Another. The journey from one husband to another. All right, so we start with there at the top right, born in Christ, new birth. All right, so when Naomi, let's say it like this, when Naomi was born again, she was born in the promised land. Or when she was born, you following? When she was born in the promised land. All right, and that's equal to us. When we're born again, we're born in Christ. All right? But there's still a lack that is going on there. So, and you see that in verse 3 of, since we're in Romans 6, verse 3, know ye not. What? Is this like the third verse we've read that started with know ye not? And the importance of these scriptures, again, is saying, if you are ignorant in your way that you proceed as a Christian, ignorant of this new aspect that we're talking in this third class in Ruth, if you're ignorant of that, then it's going to cause negative repercussions in your life because you're going to function as if the old man isn't dead. All right, So Naomi is born in the land, or she is born in Christ, but she's ignorant of the Christ that she's born into. We'll explain that as we go. All right, let's go ahead and go back to Ruth. I hope you kept your place there. Ruth chapter 1. So in our chart, you notice we've got an arrow going, sliding down to Adam, and this is pictured in the fact of, let's see, verse 1 just says it. Let's read it again. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He, get ready, he and his wife and his sons. All right. So what is she doing? She's leaving where she was born. She's leaving the reality that she was born in Christ, and she's following her husband, her crucified husband, her dead husband. Do you see what I mean? And it's going to manifest. It'll eventually manifest, and boy, then it manifests in your life. Okay? So she's in the land. She's born there. She's a child of God. She's one with Jesus, but she is not aware of that. So she ends up following her husband, and she leaves that place. Now, in reality, she leaves, or you could say that she lives in the ignorance of it. Because it really is true. I mean, that's why those scriptures are saying, "Know ye not." It means if you're living in the ignorance of this, then the old nature is what you're yielding to.
Right.
Remember the scriptures that we read? So the leaving for us is, for her leaving that place of her birth, is a picture of us living in ignorance of that place and therefore functioning over here on the left side of the chart, functioning as if we're in Adam. Okay. And all of those things that should be dead, amen, pop up again. We're going, why? Why is this happening to me? I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. You know, we can go on and on and on and throw our little fit, but we're standing out there in the hailstorm. And so we see that. And excuse me, we see that. All right, so you can tell that she is identified with her first husband, because in verse 5, let's do verse 3. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And then verse 5, and Mahlon and Chilion died also, and both of them. And the woman was bereaved of her two sons and her husband. His loss becomes her loss. And it begins to affect her. Even though it's true of him that he's crucified, dead, that he's dead, it is a death that is not based on the cross in her mind. And so it's just the death of the fallen creation that starts creeping in and affecting her. And remember what I said, the land and the person are tied together. So what's true of Moab also starts becoming true of Elimelech and of the sons and of Naomi. And you see that? I mean, because they're dwelling in the wrong land. Now, let's again make this clear. In reality, they're not. Jesus finished the work. You're in Christ. Okay? If you hold on to that, there is security. There is assurance. But if you're ignorant of that, and that's why it says again, know ye not, verse 3 of Romans 6. Know ye not, verse 6. Know ye not, verse 16. Continually challenging us, saying, look, if you don't know this, then you're going to yield your members to something different than what you should. So that's what begins to happen. Then what starts happening to Naomi is what happened to Elimelech and her two sons. Destruction and ruin and loss and death starts surrounding her. All right? All right, so if you're looking at in Adam over there and you're looking at the old man there, Elimelech, this is sort of the face of Naomi now too. She is so in union with it that she's just bummed out and life has just taken a bad turn for her also. But let's see. Let's look at verse 6 and 7. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. She's going to return. Here comes the return. The return. that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of that place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return unto the land of Judah. All right. So now, what is really going on here in this story? Okay. Well, there's a return to in Christ, but in reality, she's only returning to the, I'm going to say it like this, to the theology of in Christ. And she's returning to the theology of it because it's offering her bread. In other words, some people have enough sense. I mean, even the prodigal son did that. He said, you know, I'm starving here and everything, and I'm going to come back to my father's house because there's bread enough, right? But the father, come on, see this picture. It's the same picture. The father had a ring for him and had new shoes and had a robe and had a kiss and had all this stuff, and he's not expecting that. He's walking just like that face right there. He's coming back going, I am not worthy to be called a son. I'm not. Well, that's rude too. And so I went out. I had all sorts of good stuff. And now I'm in the same face. You know? And the father sees him afar off and doesn't go, boy, you better get down and repent now. You better shape up. You have really blown it. And your father doesn't do that to you either. He ran out, put a ring on his finger, and he put shoes on his feet and kissed him. And what does all that mean? Oh, the father is so forgiving. No, the father sees you as a son in his house now. You've gotten back under the covering. Yeah. And he will not go against that. That's it. Once you're there, he goes, okay, this is it, dude. You are seen as one with Christ. And the father's going, ooh, let's have a party. And the son's kind of going, really? You know, are we really going to party? Yeah, I'm going to kill the fatted calf, dude. We are going to party now. Eventually, the prodigal gets into it, doesn't he? He starts going, yeah, you know. Anyway, different kind of party than what we're used to. Can you see me jumping around up here, people? So, she returns back to the truth of in Christ. But she maintains the old union and the old mentality. And you can see that in, verse 20 and 21. She said unto them, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Okay. She's coming back to the truth, but she's not coming back to the Lord.
That's right.
She is still tied to that guy, that face, that old man. She is still tied to that guy. Okay, and it's oozing out of her to everybody around. You didn't know it, but you ooze sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Do you know that? You ooze, and it's not a good ooze. All right, verse 21. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Oh, yeah. You have come back to the fullness of Christ, but you are still ignorant of it. You're just coming back to the doctrine to get a little bread.
Uh-huh.
All right? And the Lord hath testified against me. The Almighty hath afflicted me. That is not the truth, woman.
That's right.
That is not the truth. You need to get lined up with your head, Jesus.
Amen.
I'm not just talking to the girls, guys. Just so you know. Just so you know, you're Naomi in this situation. You're the believer. All right. So, there's another one. In chapter 2, verse 5. Yeah, verse 5. This is from Ruth's perspective. Then said Boaz unto his servant who was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servants and the servant who was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabite's damsel who came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And verse 7, and she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, except that she's tarried a little in the house. And then drop down to verse 10, or drop up. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace? Well, first of all, why are you asking why do you find grace? Grace is unmerited, so there is no why. So just, I'm sorry, I'm going to say this like this, and forgive me. So shut up and receive the grace. Okay? Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing that I am a foreigner? You're not a foreigner. You are not. Well, you are, but no. But not in Christ, you're not. And you can follow the story. He's not treating her like she's a foreigner. He's treating her the same way the father was treating the prodigal son. Because she's under the covering now. She's in his fields. It's all settled in his heart. She's the one that needs to be awakened to this. And particularly Naomi.
Oh, yes.
Because she starts responding pretty quick. You know what I mean? All right. We talked about all that in the last class. So there's this situation that has happened. She's born in the land, but she starts following the old man, and it takes her down over here to Moab. And there, all that union with the old nature starts bringing forth all this destruction and death. And she becomes a partaker of it because her husband is a partaker of it. Okay? So then, he's gone in that sense. She's coming back. She hears that there's bread, but she's coming back to the theology of in Christ to get a little bit of comfort food. I mean, comfort. Sorry. And feel better about everything. And so all of a sudden this change begins to happen. And this is the good part. This is where the change begins to happen. let's look in verse 19. We're still in chapter 2, 19 and 20. So Ruth returns home, and her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Okay, so there's fixing to dawn a revelation of the person that she's in union with. Not just I'm in Christ theology, but the Christ that I'm in. Okay, next verse. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be the Lord who have not withheld his kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near kin of us, one of our own next kinsmen. All of a sudden the light begins to dawn that this is about a person that I'm in union with, not a theological fact of union.
Thank you, Lord.
And I know this guy. It's the revelation of the person. All right? So, keeping your place here, just to show you one quick scripture, 1 Corinthians, but don't lose your place in Ruth. 1 Corinthians For some reason, I don't have it in my book. Chapter 6. There it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. All right. Revelation, the revelation of Christ, or the revelation of the person, leads to union. All right. Don't seek union, seek the revelation of the person. Okay? Seek the person of the union. Because he that's joined to that one. He'll explain. That's what he did with Ruth. He explained the union. She's going, what do I do? You know, he said, look, just put this cover over your feet. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of everything. You remember that? I'm not going to read all that, but that's what he does. He basically says, look, don't worry about it. Don't try to do anything. It's almost like he's saying, look, don't try to do anything, because if you try to do something, why is this thing slipping? If you try to do something, you might mess this up. Just let me handle it. This is the Lord. Do you know sometimes he doesn't want you to do anything? He says, look, just stop. Just stop being busy. Stop trying so hard. Just be with me. Trust me. Glory to God. That's called good news. Where I come from, that's called good news. All right. So, and you remember how this all started with Paul, don't you? You remember that? Galatians 1:16. It says, you know, when I was, maybe I ought to just turn there. Galatians 1. Verse 16, verse 15 and 16. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Gosh, you know, I'm just looking at my notes. How much time have I got left? Oh, boy. All right, so I don't need to be commenting on that then right this minute. So with the revelation of the person, all of a sudden there's a possibility, there's a hope that rises in Naomi, right? I mean, this revelation of Boaz, this is the first change in her since Moab. There's a breath of life and of hope and of something, a destiny in the future and that sort of thing. But one of the things that has to be recognized is if this union is going to take place, you're going to have to give up your identity. You're going to have to give up your name. You're going to have to give up your family identity, all of that, right? Well, is that really so bad? That's called union with Christ. That's what it does, you know. Well, I don't want to give up my identity with my first husband. Look at him. Okay. I'm just telling you, it's not as cool as you think it is, okay? You might want to think about it. All right. And really, to give that up is just simply this, is to give up the old nature and be joined to Christ. And he's worth it. He's worth it. And the scriptures in Romans 7 said that. If the husband be dead, then you're free to be joined to another. Praise God. All right. So we began to find out that Christ is actually a person. And this is where we move down to the last part of our thing here. We're moving out of in Christ theology to the person that we are in, and a revelation, and therefore a union with that person. And then it says, but of God are you in Christ, who is made unto us. You see that? He is made unto us. We're in Christ. He is made unto us. It's not a theology. It's a hymn that is made unto us. But of God are you in Christ, who is made unto us righteousness and sanctification, redemption, and all of those things. And so you begin to come to this recognition there's no longer a theological teaching at all. This is about a person and a reality of a person. And you're seeking to embrace that. Not just in Christ, in the person of Christ. I don't know how, you know. The way it came to me the other day, and guys may get this a little more than girls, but Boaz is the face of the franchise. Jesus is the face of the franchise. He is the face of the, some of you know the Dallas Stars. Well, Mike Madonna was the face of the franchise. And you know, whoever is the one that people know his face and stuff, he represents the whole. Well, Jesus is that. He is the face of the whole organization, but it's not an organization, it's a organism. Amen. All right. So back to Ruth. I'm hurrying because I'm sure you don't want to hear me a whole month in a row on Sunday morning. So Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16. Ruth says, "Entreat me not to leave or to turn away from following after thee, for where thou goest I will go, and where thou lodgest I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." Okay, so at this point, those words are pretty good. Thy people be my people, your God will be my God. But she's still, I'm going to say it like this, she's still a Christian, not a wife. Look at the wording. She's still just a follower of the right God and the right people. Okay. But she is not joined in union yet, and that reality hadn't come about. So there has to be a transformation for union to take. You can be a Christian and just have a theology of union, or you can be a wife and be in union. That's the difference. All right. And when this union starts coming about, that's when change really starts happening. Any of you here ever wanted real change to happen in your life? This is how it happens. This is God's way. This is the order that he brings that about. And so all of a sudden there comes this change where he's not just redeeming you from hell or whatever, but now you have him as the redeemer of your state and your condition. Naomi knows exactly what that's like. She, you know, look, call me no more Naomi. Call me Mara. God has dealt bitterly with me and all this kind of stuff. This relationship, and we haven't seen it yet in the scriptures, but this relationship is going to transform her view of herself, because her view of herself was that little guy over there in the black. See? And as long as that was her view of herself, you know, she needed another self to look at, another husband. You understand what I'm saying? Another one that you're joined to look at. So he's not just redeeming your future relating to heaven or hell or whatever. He's redeeming your sad personal condition.
Amen. Praise God.
You know. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. So, and not only that, we dealt with that a little bit in one of the other ones, but he's not only, there's also another change when this union and being in Christ and this reality of the Christ that we're in begins to permeate your understanding, and you're no longer ignorant of it. Know ye not this, you know, you're no longer ignorant of that, but while you're in ignorance of that, he's still good, and so he gives you bread, and he would do that with her, and he said, look, you can come in my fields anytime, and you can get, remember that? This was before union. You can come here and you can get anything you want and da 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 da, but, and then here's some bread and stuff. But, you know, when that union began to take place, she wasn't just getting pittances from the harvest. She was marrying the Lord of the harvest. I mean, that's a big deal, because now these fields are yours. You know, he's not just going, oh, well, here, hold up your apron and I'll put some, you know, and you go, oh, glory, you know, let's have a really great praise and worship service. Look what I got. Don't dance too hard or it'll go everywhere.
That's right.
But, you know, how about he goes, look, you know, I'm not giving you an apron full of grain. I'm giving you it all because when you join with me, all of this is constituted in it. You're a joint heir.
Hallelujah.
Okay. It's all included. That's just the way that it works, you know. And then let's look in, well, let's go back to 1 and 5, chapter 1, verse 3 and 5. Again, we're going to reread this. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons, in verse 5, and Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was bereaved of her sons and of her husband. Okay, so she's sharing in Moab. She's sharing in where her husband brought her to. Do you see that? The old nature. That's what's going to happen. He's sharing where the old nature has brought you to, okay? And there's rejection and loss and death, and it's all come because of following Elimelech. All right, but let's go to the fourth chapter now of Ruth. And verse 4:14. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord who hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age, and for thy daughter-in-law who loveth thee, who is better to thee than seven sons, hath given him birth. And Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom, and became nurse unto him. All of a sudden, she is sharing in Boaz's wealth. She is, all of a sudden, her perception by others, their perception, the perception of others has changed in relationship to her. And now the people that when they saw her come back with no husband and no kid and, well, you shouldn't have left the land anyway and you went to Moab and there are enemies and no wonder you're all messed up. No wonder this has all happened and stuff like that. And no wonder you keep having these bad things happen to you and everything. And now you got bringing a Moabite down here with us and, you know, plan on, and they're all looking like this. Well, this is those same people talking now and going, blessed be the Lord God. You know, because, you know, this kid that was just born, the one that she's holding there, that's Obed, which is the father of Jesse, which is the father of David. And, you know, and they don't even know what they're saying compared to what's coming. But they know it's the Lord, don't they? They don't have to know all the particulars. They're just going, blessed be God in your life and what he's done, and he shall be called the restorer of your, you know, and goes all through all of this stuff, and she's just sitting there glowing, and they're all, you know, saying this stuff because of this union that has taken place and the fruit that's going to come forth from it. And it's just like, you know, I never thought I would come to this place. And where did it all come from? It all came from not coming back to the land, but from seeing Boaz, seeing the Lord, coming to a revelation, having your eyes open and seeing the one that you're joined to instead of trying to get stuff from him. Get him. Go after him. Amen? I don't know, since this is my last time, maybe we could just have a little prayer. Is that okay? If any of you just feel like just the Lord's touched in any of these sessions, not just today's, but any of these sessions, and the Spirit of God is just quickening you, and or just nudging you, but you can tell that the Lord is in this in relationship to you, and you'd like just some special prayer, why don't you just come up here, and we'll just stand together, and we'll pray together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Why don't we just come in a little closer right here? And maybe I should say this. And those that are on Skype, you just, if you have something in your heart, and Deb back in the children's room, or anyone that's watching this video later, if the Lord's dealing with you in something, we're going to just include you in these prayers right now. Maybe I should take this off because I want to. Amen. Come on up close and let's just do it like this. Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. Your spirit is upon us and your dealing is there. And whether we feel something deep or just a tinge, we want you to know that we love you and that we love your son. And we want to begin to have a greater focus on the one that we're in and not the fact that we're in. We want your spirit to breathe the life of these things to us, not just the things I've shared, but the things that are true in Christ and true of Christ, Father, and that your Holy Spirit knows him better than it even knows my teaching. So, Father, we ask you to just touch and move and fill and overcome and overshadow every aspect of us, so that you will be glorified by your Son in us and glorified by our stand in Christ, in your Son, because we will not let go of that union with your Son. And so, Father, I just thank you for these times that we have together this last three Sundays. I believe, Lord, that there are those on Skype that you're touching, that you're moving on, that need to hear a fresh word, that Lord, that your spirit is just rolling over them to refresh their faith and their heart for you, and that, Lord Jesus, you're worth living for. You are worth living for, and nothing else is really worth living for, Father. But we do love you, Jesus. You are our husband and our head. You are our life, and so we just commit our heart to, and we commit our heart to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, what we can't do even in our own heart, what we can't do even in our own commitments, you can do. We give you permission to go beyond how much we know to give up or give to. We just are hoping in Christ and hoping that your desire is to go beyond everything of our mind and our old understanding and all of that, and just overshadow that dead guy that is that we're just tired and sick and tired of any influence from him. And we don't want to just be free. We want to be one with Jesus. We want to function as one. So, Lord, on any of those fronts that we know not, where it says, know ye not, all the areas that we don't know, we're asking you to move by the Spirit and open our heart, not just our eyes, not just our ears to hear it, but open our hearts to live according to it. We thank you for your love. Father, we thank you for giving us Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for coming and for making a way through the cross that we could be joined to you. And we don't want to belittle that or make it small or just make it bread coming back to you. We want a bigger fullness to take place. We want full change where we are functioning by you and not just in remembrance of you, but by you in fullness. So, Father, you are our Father. Father us through this. We're just kids. We're going to fail. We're going to fail. Father us through it. Pick us up. Brush off our knees. Hug us and wipe away our tears and tell us to come on. Tell us to get up and keep coming. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to just keep opening the Word of God. Opening
the Word of God. Father, I just pray that for those who need it, a new desire to just get into the Word, even though it doesn't happen, even though we don't see wonderful things immediately, Lord, you want us to plow before we reap. You want us to plow that hard ground before we're going to reap the seeds breaking out. And so, Lord, give us a new commitment to search the Scriptures and not just read the Bible, but to search the Scriptures and in our hearts as we do, say, Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus in us, Father, and we thank you. And I thank you for these your sheep, your people. Father, with whatever authority you've given me, I cover them in your name. I cover them for their protection. And Lord, for your sake and your plan for their life. And Satan, I bind you from any attack and every attack against them in their emotions or the lack of emotions or their mind or their fears. And Satan, I resist you and I command you to flee according to the Word of God. And Father, now just let the Spirit of God give them assurance that this is in your hand. And Jesus, that you're telling us to just be quiet. You're going to do the work. You're going to do the work. Thank you, our Boaz. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And so we do trust you. We know, as it were, according to the story, you go into the gate and you talk to the elders and you get this thing settled. And you know how to do it and we don't. So thank you. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we ask. Amen. Amen.